Blog Talk Radio.
Actually listening to the Red Grand Funk album before, previously, we're on the air now, but previously before that, still got to do this Grand Funk show, series, something like that, to the extent of that. 347-215-6357 is guest call-in number. It's been a real grind the last couple of days. It's going to be nice to kind of sit back, relax, listen to some great music today. We have Kanan James out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Well, somewhere in the Triangle area of North Carolina. Good friend of mine. And we're going to have him on the show today. This is going to be his interview. And we're going to play some of his music coming up. A lot of great music up for you coming up, so stick around. If you're just tuning in, if you're on the podcast, the blog podcast, in the archive section, you have picked a good episode to listen to. I'm telling you that already beforehand. We're gonna have some good music and some good stories to tell on the program for this hour. Once again, 347-215-6357 is the guest call in number. And we'll get to Kanan in just a bit. Want to talk about the Lincoln Tunnel yesterday. We had a show down at Midtown Live. Ended up being more of a rehearsal in a nice venue, seemed like. But the rock scene is somewhat dead in New York. Rock blues scene's a shame. This is why I do this show, pretty much, because we've run into this kind of glass ceiling as far as fighting the masses of pop culture, fighting the cosmopolitan masses. And, you know, the crazy thing about all this is that Hendrix was doing pop festivals. Grand Funk Railroad was doing pop festivals. The Beatles were doing live appearances on Ed Sullivan and all these shows. And what has the world come to? That is the question that I leave you today. I'm not going to rant too much about this subject because I think the music industry can be very cyclical and subject to change over time. I haven't lost hope completely yet. I really think that we may have some sort of a a revolution through people who are fed up like myself, who want to just kind of take this whole machine down. I don't know what the procreate, is that the word? To put forth, I don't know. But once again, we got a great show today, ladies and gentlemen. We got Kane and James coming on, as I stated earlier. We'll probably get a story in for you at some point. We had Shelly Davis on the show last episode. That was a fun interview. She's got some great music. Check her out. The link can be found, I think, this is episode 16. Don't take my word for it. Let me check. I don't even know. But anyway, you can find all that information in the archive section. I completely forgot about my train of thought. The Lincoln Tunnel was just hellacious yesterday. For those of you who are in the New York City area, tri-state area, literally took us about an hour to go around a quarter-mile strip to get into the tunnel. Probably took us 20 or 30 minutes to go through the tunnel. And then everything was kind of fine at that point. But just driving in New York City is just one of the most ridiculous experiences anybody could put themselves through. So with that, let's hear some music. I'll try and get some sort of story up here. Let's see what we have time for. I don't even know what I want to hear right now. I'm just kind of stalling for the first 15 minutes. We have, I may play a little bit of, I don't even know. I'm spaced out. I was doing schoolwork. We're going to play this song. I really like this Police song. Just listen to the drums. It's really interesting how the backbeat is just kind of reversed. It's kind of like a reggae thing because the Police obviously do they have a reggae background, you know, white boys playing reggae. Really interesting song, The Police, Hole in My Life, off of the first album, Outlandish D'Amour. 78, I think it came out, and this is the first Police record. Also, Roxanne's on there, Fallout, Truth Hits Everybody, and then Hole in My Life. This is one of my favorite songs by the Police by far. Check it out. Rock, Blues, and News Show, Jason D'Amico here, awaiting the Mr. Kane and James for the interview, and we'll be getting to that in just a bit. The Police, Hole in My Life.
It's
incredible drumming. The musicianship in that band can never be underrated. Percolate, by the way, was the word I was looking for earlier. I had a chance to look it up. I forgot. I was like combining procreate with percolate, and it just didn't come out correctly. 347-215-6357 is guest calling number. That Police tune's just really cool. I remember driving back from a show in Virginia with a great friend of mine, Eric Krepsack, on drums. I can't remember what it was. It was one of those marathon runs, the Color Run. Did one of those shows. Really fun. Really fun. Enjoyed it. And driving back, and I showed him the Police tune, because he's always been into funk and reggae and all these genres like that, and very syncopated genres. And I said, hey, you got to listen to this and tell me where the snare is landing. And he, because I told him, I said, I don't even know how to count this properly, because it feels like the measures keep shifting. And he took a listen to it, and he was able to kind of explain it to me in a little bit of a different perspective than I previously imagined. And for all these years was trying to figure it out. So I can't remember how he described it, but it was really interesting seeing somebody else try to decipher that playing. I mean, Stuart Copeland, I can't say enough great things about Stuart Copeland. He's one of my favorite drummers. He really, really has a unique approach to the drum kit. Andy Sumner's on guitar for the Police, and Sting. One of the only, I think, really, that never, well, they are disbanded, you could say now. I don't think they're ever going to tour again or anything like that, or probably record again. It was really the original players, which is interesting. And the Doors, too, are kind of the same, fall into the same vein, as well as the Beatles, except for Pete Best. But kind of the same thing. Never really a rotation. I personally think if you make it, you should really, and you have your disputes and you go through your money problems, just let the sleeping dog lie. I don't see any reason to just try and be something else. I mean, I think Sammy Hagar fans coined the expression Van Hagar. You just can't compare the two bands. You have classic Van Halen, and then you have like this Van Halen, completely different sound. Some people say it's more commercialized. I would tend to agree with that. But at the same time, it still seems to me that when a band really has their popularity boom from the original sound, I just don't understand why you'd want to try and keep proliferating that with somebody else as a frontman. I'm trying to think of any other kinds of examples. I think Journey's doing it now with the other guy. They're doing it with the other guy, because we saw them. Wasn't bad. I mean, it was a good show. But, you know, the only band that really has pulled it off that I've seen is Foreigner. We saw, and it was literally the same concert. Foreigner and Journey, the same night, blew me away. And I think Bad Company everybody was still in. Maybe the bass player was different, but the drummer was the same. Paul Rogers was there. Guitar player was the same. And the Chili Peppers. See, once again, I saw the Chili Peppers and they're without Frusciante, and it was just wasn't the same. It was still one of the greatest shows I've ever seen, but it just wasn't the same. And I think anybody who saw them with Hill Slovak before he passed away from the heroin overdose, I think anybody would have said the same. But any of these bigots like John Mayer, Hendrix, and I don't mean that in a condescending connotation or a negative connotation. I'm just, you know, they're huge. They're massive artists. Even with John Mayer, I think you're not going to have a guy as competent as Steve Jordan. You know, I think that was really the highlight of his career, was when he worked with Steve Jordan. I don't know. We may see more of John Mayer. I'm not sure. And then Mitch Mitchell with Hendrix. I mean, this is just me kind of like flatulating my opinion here. But similarly, Mitch Mitchell and Buddy Miles, two completely different players, two completely different bands with Hendrix. But I would tend to like, I like Buddy Miles' groove more. Mitch Mitchell was kind of like a loose cannon, but it worked. But I really, what does it for me is that Band of Gypsies. I gotta play that sometime. The Voodoo Child version off of is it Electric Ladyland, Valleys of Neptune, one of those albums where they have the Voodoo Child at the end where they do it live. Oh my God, incredible arrangement. So 347-215-6357 is the guest call-in number. Just waiting for Kane and James to call in here for the interview. And moving along now, we're going to play another track for you. We got, what are we going to play here? I don't want to play any of Kane's music before he comes on. Well, you know, let's hear some Hendrix. This is with Mitch Mitchell on drums, Red House, Billy Cox on bass. Noel Redding on bass, excuse me. Billy Cox was with Buddy Miles later on, and Hendrix and Band of Gypsies. This is Noel Redding and Mitch Mitchell, Red House, Hendrix. Just love this version. I think any Hendrix version of Red House is great, but this one I really like, the one off of kind of like the more popular cut. Here we go. Thank you. Mitchell on drums, the man himself, Jimi Hendrix on guitar and vocals. Obviously, it's a great cut. Anything that you listen to with either the Band of Gypsies or the Power Trio before that, the Hendrix Experience, you're going to get blown away. It's the man at work. We were talking about this the other night, me and a couple of guys who were playing, filling in for me up here in New York, and a couple of weeks ago, and it just didn't really, we came to the conclusion that it really didn't matter who was playing for Hendrix. It didn't matter, and he was the catalyst of it all. You can't have Van Halen without Hendrix, you can't have Vi without, you can't have anybody without Hendrix in the rock sphere. Mark Farner, the list goes on and on. Now, blues, yeah, because blues was around before rock. Rock's a baby of the blues, jazz is a baby of the blues, we all know this. So, before I get on, carrying on ranting, we still got about half an hour left. The man himself, Kanan James, is on. We're going to put him on the air. How we doing, brother? What's going on?
Not much, man. Just taking a quick relax before I head off to Branson in a couple weeks.
And you got that show tonight, right, down in Clayton over at Riffs, Burgers, and Blues. That's tonight, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct. It's 7 o'clock.
Great, man. So if you guys are listening in and you guys are down in North Carolina, you know that we've played there at least 3 or 4 times. You got to check out Kanan James. You got to go out and check him out. I will be coming to one of your shows, man, more than one of them. You can check out his music. I'm just going to start plugging you right away, bro, and then we'll get to the interview. Kanan James is available on Reverb Nation. You can find all of his work there, as well as KananJamesLive.com, and I'll have all those links put up in the description box below. So, and I love this shot of you on the boat, man. And let me, for those of you who are just listening in and have no idea what I'm talking about, this guy asked me to go out on the boat at like 5:30, 6 in the morning, and I just got back from a gig, and I got, I don't know when this was. It was probably like 1 or 2 in the morning, and you were still up, which was really funny. Yeah, I'm going out fishing in like, 3 or 4 hours. It's like, dude, this is just not going to happen for me. how's that? I asked you on Facebook a couple of days ago, how have you caught anything substantial within the last 6 months since we talked? I mean, is there anything that's like pulled you off of the boat yet?
You know, honestly, it's the weather here in North Carolina is really throwing them off, because one minute it's warm and the next minute it's cold and then it's snowing and then it's raining. It's like God is up there with a light switch.
I'm telling you, it's the same thing up here. It's been the same thing. It was like 60 for a couple of days last week, and I'm about 60 miles north of New York City. And, last night we had the show. Everybody's freezing again, and it wasn't even that cold. It was like 40 degrees, just raining, and everybody's like complaining. And just prior, a month before, it was like 10 degrees out with wind chill, so like at negative 10. So it's very strange, man. It's very, very strange. So you're from Syracuse originally. I'm trying to act not like a friend, but more of like an interviewer so people can listen in. I kind of know your history because we sat down and talked a couple of times and hung out quite a bit. Residing just south of Raleigh, North Carolina, touring around the U.S. and currently recording in Nashville, 7 songs released. And would you call that an extended EP, or is that just an LP, like a regular album, produced by James Lugo?
I mean, honestly, that one was, I really was trying to do 5 songs, but within the last, 3 or 4 weeks of preparing to do this particular, I guess it would be an extended EP because normally it's 5.
Right.
So I just felt like these songs had to go on there. I've been writing stuff down and like writing like songs and poems and lyrics and stuff since I was like 9. But I never really thought that I would be good at songwriting. It was hard enough just trying to learn how to play guitar and sing at the same time, but to write a song and then compose the lyrics and then sing, it was something that was really, really new to me. That's one of the things that I try to stand by when I tell people that I'm a singer-songwriter is I write every single lyric of my music. I write all of my own.
Yeah, go for it. I have a question after you're done.
Yeah, I was just going to say I write all of my own music, and that's something that I firmly believe in.
Yeah, if you had to, I was going to ask you if you had to, along the lines of that, if you had to pinpoint in a way, yeah, everybody asks this question in an interview. What's the songwriting process for you? I mean, everybody kind of has a different way of doing things and being receptive to, you and I both are kind of like on the same wavelength as far as I think you and I would both agree. There are some songs that we can kind of muster up in ourselves, and then there's other stuff that just channels in God-given. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. And 5 of the 7 songs on that album, I wrote in less than 5 minutes.
Right, exactly. And I have some like that where it's like it took 15 minutes to write, whatever. Or there's a riff that hangs out on your iPhone or your Android recorder, app, and it just sits there for a year, and then spontaneously a year later, oh, there it is, and the lyrics are there, and the experience is there, or you just get downloaded with something. Is there anything else besides that you kind of write with? I mean, obviously, it's an open-ended question. I would think emotions and experiences are at play. Is there anything else, a kind of unorthodox, that goes into the process for you besides those cliche answers?
I mean, honestly, a lot of the songs that I write, I just hit record on my phone, and I sing and play guitar, and a lot of the times, the lyrics and the chords just come out at once. That actually happened with the last song that I recorded, Daddy, when I recorded it in Nashville. I ran across this story of a guy whose son was struggling to stay alive with stage 4 neuroblastoma, cancer. And we had maybe a 10-minute conversation via Facebook. And while we're talking to each other, I'm writing the lyrics to the song, not realizing where it's coming from or how it's happening. I didn't really think that much of it. I thought it was good. And then I sent him the lyrics, and he was like, oh, you know, beautiful. And then I told him, I said, I'd really like to get into the studio and record this if you would like, because I lost my son in 2009, and I know what he was going through when it came to dealing with that sort of thing. So I don't know. I felt like I had to write it. And when I wrote it, it happened. And then I went to Nashville, and Daryl Worley's drummer, Tom Drennan, recorded the song. And Jason Roller, who is Kelly Pickler's lead guitar player, been on numerous albums. And as far as I know right now, has been on 3 Casting Crowns albums, was on that single. So
great musicianship. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, the best of the best. I mean, I was just absolutely floored that I was able to be even in the presence of these people, and I had never even been to Nashville.
Do you have an MP3 of that? I'll have to cue that up for another date. We'll have to have you back on. Do you have an MP3 of that song?
I do, and actually, for those who would like to hear it, it's called Daddy, and I have it distributed exclusively on iTunes.
Okay.
Because 50% of the proceeds are going to the True 365, which is a cancer organization, and another 25% of that song is going to Tom Drennan, who tragically, 5 days later, after we recorded that song in his house, we recorded it in the studio, and he lost his entire house.
Wow.
In a fire.
Wow. Wow.
So, that was the only song that was left, was my song, because he gave me the Pro Tools sessions.
Right, on a flash drive.
Exactly, and he said he doesn't normally do that, but for some reason he felt like he needed to do it. And I'm so very glad he did, because if not, that would be it.
Yeah, we have my whole second album is being, well, we've been mixing it up here in New York, and we did all the vocals in New York, and I kept asking multiple times, you know, are there separate hard drives and all this stuff, and you know, they keep separate hard drives in different locations. It's very important. I'm so glad that he gave you that.
Absolutely. I mean, we got off on a rabbit trail, but when it comes to the songwriting aspect, I try to keep in my mind that there is a particular song format, not necessarily a stereotypical, okay, you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to have this and you got to have that, because when a song hits you, it hits you, and it's your song. It's not someone else's. And you know, like if you're learning a new song and you don't necessarily play it the way the composer plays it or the artist plays it, people are so quick to want to tell you, do you want to know how to play that the right way? And my answer is no, I don't want to know how to play that, because music is an expressionism. I'm not saying that to be arrogant, but what I'm saying is music was never intended to be a format. It was meant to be a form of expressionism. And every artist has an individual style and inspiration and all that stuff. And to put a particular genre or a particular song or artist in a box is completely ridiculous. Like you were just saying about Jimi Hendrix, that was the platform. That was the foundation. Same thing with the Constitution. Don't let me get on that trail.
Right.
It is what it is, and it's concrete. And that's awesome. But to put Jimi Hendrix in a box, that's you can't. or you know, Steve Vai or Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, all of those phenomenal guitar. Can you imagine if somebody had told Yngwie that he could only play rock music? You know, the same kind of.
Yeah, I mean, that right there sums it up. Absolutely. Because there wouldn't be any variation. There wouldn't be any difference and expenditure on other genres. There would be no other genres. I mean, you just summed it up beautifully right there. You know, so absolutely. Absolutely. Let me get to... Man, we're already like 20 minutes left here. I got to get to some of your songs. We're going to Don't Walk Away. This is off of the seven song James Lugo produced album, LP, extended EP, whatever you want to call it. Oh, and Hemisphere is a recording. Yeah, it's James Lugo is very well known in the area. So, and I've actually listened to this. I think I listened to this on, I don't know if it was on SoundCloud or somewhere a long time ago. But I remember hearing these songs and was really blown away. So we're going to get to this and we'll come back. This is Kane and James here live, Blog Talk Radio, The Rock Blues News Show. Jason D'Amico here. Kane and James, Don't Walk Away. Stay right back. We'll be right back.
what's on your mind. Don't walk away, I'm begging you.
So, Don't Walk Away by Kane and James here on the Rock Blues and News Show. Jason D'Amico here again. Live with Kane and James still on the phone. So how did you track that? Was that all just sitting in the room with a couple of condensers and hit the red light and go? Or was that just like lay down the guitar, do a click, and then come back and do the vocal again?
That's pretty much what we did, was we laid the guitar down first and got that set up, and I came back and tracked the vocals.
What do you like doing better? Because obviously you're going to get more clarity when you do that. I would think the whole live thing would be more enjoyable. That's how it is for me, but everybody's different.
I would say yes. I would prefer the live recording, but for me the difference is sometimes the tempos can be slower and they can be faster. Depending on the pentameter of the song, I guess is the word.
Right.
But I knew that if for some reason I wanted to go back and add more to it, I needed to have that click track.
Right.
You know, like if I wanted to add drums or violin or, you know, steel guitar or bass or whatever it may be, I needed to have a good foundation for the musicians that would come later on.
Well, so that's great. I never even thought of it in those terms. You know, that's as far as like a solo thing of coming back later and possibly putting things. That's a great. I didn't even think of it that way. So that's completely understand that. Do you see at any time doing something like that?
And that's the thing that I've already been talks with, as of right now, I've actually turned down 5 record labels because we couldn't come to an agreement. But what I would like to do, knowing all of this in my head, starting off with an acoustic album, and then from there, doing another album, which is Summers in the South, but taking the full album and adding those 7 songs from Summers in the South and also taking the 7 songs from this album and putting them together as a full production album.
That would be great.
So that's my thoughts. And then, you know, like you're, you know, talking about my tour dates and stuff. I mean, I'm playing, going to Branson this month, and then playing CMA Fest in June. And then going from here all the way out to Iowa, Wisconsin area for a tour out there in July. So really, you know, really just trying to push it out there. And the more material I have, you know, the cool thing about this is every song on that EP is being played globally, every single song. Which, for me, that says a lot about the variation in my music, because a lot of times when people are promoting an album, it's just one single at a time.
Right.
But the fact that people are playing every single song on my album, that makes me really, really happy.
There's hope.
So yeah, I mean I'm just
to a certain degree I think there is. And I was talking about this a little bit earlier, actually in the episode before you called in for the interview. And there is hope. I think there's going to be some turnover again. I think people are going to get fed up eventually. And this whole, like, it's kind of this similar to what happened with disco. It kind of died off. And then we have now this, like, whole club thing again. But I think it'll kind of die off within the next 5 years. You can't really make a prediction in this business. But at least we can hope for one and possibly pray for one. You know, it's just ridiculous. So that's great that it's being heard as an entire unit globally. Kane and James here, the interview, and I'm reading off of the Kane and James Live.com website. You can find everything you need there, folks. There's so much to be seen. Bio, music, press, the show dates. For those of you who may be listening out in the Midwest, I'm not sure how much of an audience we have out there who tune in through the podcast. Look on the website, regardless where you are in the States, because you're getting around, man. You're obviously, and one of the things I really have extreme respect for you, not even as a musician and as a friend, but is the work ethic. And was that just kind of your own mustering up, or was that just instilled at an early age? Was there some experience that brought that up within you, or is that just your personality and your temperament to go get things, and that you are your biggest advocate, as you've told me and we've expressed multiple times, just talking, you know, in person or on the phone?
You know, honestly, I lived with my grandfather and my grandmother for a very, very short time, my sophomore year in high school, and I didn't really have a good mother-father relationship. It was just my mom growing up. But the time that I spent with my grandfather, he actually just came to visit us this past week from New York. He's from New York, but he grew up on a farm, a very, very hard, hard working man. He's going to be 80 this year, and he finally just, I guess, within the past couple of years, stopped driving a dump truck and stopped driving his bulldozer and working, because that's the generation that he grew up in, is if you don't work, you don't eat.
That's right.
And so I've never really had anything handed to me. I've had to fight and claw and sweat and bleed my way to get things for what I want. And I think that I think that people appreciate it more when it's not just handed to them. You know what I mean? Like, when you have to put forth the work and you have to do things of your own ability, and sometimes, you know, people do have to come in and help you. And one of the kickstarts that I got was a guy named Bobby Golomboski, who has a Best Country Top 40 Radio Countdown. That's bestcountryradio.com. And he's the one who heard my music and took a chance and put it on the radio, and it was in a Top 40 Countdown. And then it just kind of was like a domino effect. And people just kept picking it up and picking it up. But as far as the work ethic goes, I realized that the only person who can promote and market myself is myself. No one else can do it better than you can do it for yourself. So I knew that, because I wasn't that well known in this area when I first started, that I wasn't going to get people to jump on board and support me right off the bat. I had to go knock on doors and get it done myself.
Right.
And that's basically what I've had to do. And, you know, as far as the promoting and the merchandise and the songwriting and the finances and all that stuff, I've done it all on my own. And I'm very, very fortunate to have sponsors and actually be endorsed by Seagull Guitars.
Right. And that's one of the points I wanted to bring up. Currently play at a minimum of 120 to 175 shows a year. And is also endorsed, this is Kane and James, by Seagull Guitars, the guitar company that you have a personal instrument. I saw a couple of quotes about that. If you had to kind of wrap them up in about a minute or so, what's the difference between their product and possibly a Martin or a Taylor?
Well, you know, that's the thing, is I've owned Martins, I've owned Taylors, I've owned Gibsons, I've owned Guilds. I've had Ibanez, I've had Alvarez, I've had pretty much all the major brands and some of the not so major brands. And I bought, my dream guitar was a Gibson J200 Sunburst, and it's like a $4,000 guitar.
Right.
And I bought that guitar, and I absolutely detested it.
I think we're talking about this over lunch. Yeah, I remember this story.
It wasn't the guitar. It was the pickup system that was in the guitar. You don't put an old motor, an old water pump on a new motor.
Right.
You just don't do it. And that was one of the reasons why I was having such a hard time buying just an acoustic guitar, because I've never been able to find a good enough pickup that replicates the tonal quality of the wood, because I'm very, very particular and very anal about my sound. And it got to a point where the music store that I was working with in Raleigh said, dude, this is becoming a problem. And I said, you're telling me? I live an hour from here. You know, so I would buy a guitar and I'd bring it back. I'd buy a guitar and I'd bring it back. And finally, they had this guitar, this Seagull guitar, and it's not even a solid wood guitar. It's a laminate back inside and a solid top guitar. And I would rather have that guitar than that $4,000 Gibson.
It's amazing what sounds better sometimes, you know. It's amazing.
And there again, it's a personal preference.
Yeah.
It's not, same thing with, you know, with like playing a song a certain way. Some people like it. Some people like diminished chords. Some people like major seventh chords. Some people like minor chords. It really just depends on the individual, and the same thing with guitars. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I had a Martin D15 solid mahogany. I had a Martin D18, a D28. I've had a Taylor 814. I've had a 410 Taylor. I've had a J45 standard. I've had a J45 custom. And then I bought that SJ200, and I would rather play my Seagulls. I'm not saying anything bad about Gibson guitars or as a whole, but what I do know is the pickup system that was in it, I really wish that they had picked a different company, because if so, I probably would still have that Gibson.
I mean, not that it matters if you berate such a brand, because, you know, there's so many. Well, I actually was in the Gibson factory in Nashville a couple of months ago. Incredible. If you ever have, when you're back in Nashville, if you haven't been so already, you got to check out that factory, man. It's incredible. But I think that you'd find that pretty much anywhere. Probably Seagull as well. And if they, it's obviously a smaller company. I don't know if they have a production line as automated, but it was one of those great experiences. Kane and James here, out past the country lines. We got to go over the hour here, because we're just having such a grand old time talking. We're going to get this song going. The stream will probably die off, but for those of you who will be listening to this in an archive later on, we'll give you a couple more minutes at the end with Kane and James in the interview. This is Out Past the Country Lines. Kane and James, folks. Rock, Blues, and News Show. Jason Amico here. Out big country fields, be a real
just cranking up. One last thing, make the night feel right. As you, my baby, right there at my side. Laying in the truck bed till we see the sunlight. It's gonna be a real good, feel good, hell of a time. No payrolls and four wheels. Crackle of the bonfire, clouds of the gun smoke. It's how big country.
That's out past the county lines. I made a typo when I was putting this in sometime 2 days ago, probably ready to go out the door. Out past the county lines, Kane and James. That's a great song, man. I remember listening to that one a while back after we had lunch that one time. And I'm crazy about your music, brother. It's really it's real, it's organic, it's soulful, kind of like what everybody else says about it. And I just had to have you on the show today because you're an awesome person, real man of God, real man of integrity that I have the privilege of calling a friend. And on top of that, you got some great music and definitely wanted to give you a plug before you have all these shows coming out later this year. Once again, if you're in North Carolina, folks, near the Clayton area, go check them out tonight, Kane and James, over at Rips, Burgers, and Blues, and say hi to Stu for me there tonight. And this is your first time there, I think. That's what he told me a couple of, yeah. You'll enjoy it, man. You'll definitely enjoy it. It's a great crowd. He's definitely, it's a Wendy's converted over to this kind of like, obviously, Burgers and Blues type of establishment. They have a bar in the back. But it's pretty family oriented nonetheless, you know, it's a nice kind of music, family friendly atmosphere, good times. You'll meet some good people out there. You'll enjoy it. We're out of time, but it doesn't matter because we can still track and record this. So, we'll keep going for a little bit longer and then I'll let you go and get on with your day. Real quick, wanted to kind of get into one of the more difficult times of your life, if that's cool. I know that you're open talking about it, and you brought it up a little bit earlier. When I met you at a certain music store in Raleigh, your name was different. And I remember when we coordinated back up on Facebook somehow, and I was kind of skeptical of who you were because I didn't realize that you changed your name, and then I kind of put two and two together, and I was like, oh, okay, this is the same guy. You want to talk about that somewhat in a way? I know we could go on for about an hour, and it's an incredible, incredible story. But just kind of the highlights of that and the past, the present and kind of the future of what that, how that shaped you as an individual and as a spirit, you know, what's going on there?
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things that's a curveball, you know, gets thrown at you and,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It radically, you know, shook me to the core, and I wanted to find a way that I could bring honor to my son because he was 11 weeks old when he passed of a congenital heart defect, and you know, my My birth name is Bradley James Edward, and my son's name was Kanan Bradley James. So that's how Kanan James came about. A friend of mine, actually, my guitar player, he plays local shows around here too, and so I was thinking.
Looks like we lost him there. We'll see if we can get him to call back in. He'll probably call in, and we lost him earlier during the playing of that last song. So we'll wait for Kanan to call back in. Once again, I'll just continue to plug his music. Check it out. Obviously. Available on iTunes, Amazon, all these distributors and outlets, and KananJamesLive.com, folks. I'm just going to send him a message. He was typing me up here on Facebook. So as you can see, incredible story. Incredible individual. We're just gonna wait and see if he's available to call back in. It's kind of a bad area out there. Just want to thank you for tuning in. If you are listening to this live still, thanks for bearing with us. If you are listening to this as an archive, thanks for checking out the Rock Blues and News Show. This is Jason D'Amico here, Blog Talk Radio. And appreciate your listening. And it's one of these shows where we stay pretty standard as far as rock and blues. Yeah, he's going to be calling back in. I'm going to wait to punch him in here. Once again, Kanan James, the interview. And we're just going to pick up where we left off. By the way, currently ranked number 2 on Reverb Nation's charts for singer-songwriter in the area, in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. Nominated for 5 awards for the album, which we have been playing some cuts from. Country Artist of the Year. Male Vocalist of the Year, Nashville Universe Awards, Songwriter of the Year, Song of the Year on My Skin, Male Vocalist of the Year. These are all GoLivePlus.com's awards that he has won. These are outlets, just some of the places you can find his music. And just still waiting on this call. You can't get back on. That's right, because after the hour here. All right, folks, we're going to have to wrap this up. We'll have him back on again at some point. Jason D'Amico here. Just want to thank you again for tuning in. We don't have time to find a story to talk about, just a new outrageous news story. Enjoy, folks. We're about 10 minutes over here. We'll get Kanan back on at another date. Love this guy to death. Great friend of mine. And talk to you later. Take it easy, and we'll play you out with a little bit of something here. Some Doors for you. Take it easy. See if I can find this. Here we go.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. the angel's side. Hello.